The Holy Gospel, according to Mark chapter 6, beginning with verse 35, this will serve as our sermon text this morning. It was already late in the day when his disciples came to Jesus and said, "This is a deserted place, and it is already very late. Send them away so they can go into the surrounding country and villages and buy themselves something to eat." But he answered them, "You give them something to eat." They asked him, "Should we go and buy 200 denarii worth of bread and give them something to eat?" He said to them, "How many loaves do you have? Go, see." When they found out, they said, "Five and two fish." He directed everyone to sit down in groups on the green grass. They sat down in groups of hundreds and fifties. Jesus took the five loaves and the two fish, looked up to heaven, and blessed the loaves and broke them. Then he kept giving pieces to his disciples to set in front of them. He also divided the two fish among them all. They all ate and were satisfied. Then they picked up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces of bread and fish. There were 5,000 men who ate the loaves. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise be to you, O Christ. Grace, mercy, and peace are yours from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Listen to those words of our gospel lesson again, Mark chapter 6. I'll read verses 41 and 42 at this time. Jesus took the five loaves and the two fish, looked up to heaven, and blessed the loaves and broke them. Then he kept giving pieces to his disciples to set in front of them. He also divided the two fish among them all. They all ate and were satisfied. This is the word of our God, and so we pray. Lord, sanctify us in the truth. Your word is truth. Amen. My dear friends in Christ, it's a familiar scene now for us after two vacations. The minivan pulls into one of the thousands of restaurants, fast food places on our trip. And as we empty out the van and walk into the restaurant, people are looking around and thinking, "Oh my goodness, here comes the crowd. Here comes the big multitude." And as I'm walking up to the counter, and maybe you're familiar with the scene, maybe not the family yourself, but maybe you're stuck behind them wondering, "Oh boy, now it's going to be forever, and I was in a hurry, fast food." The questions enter your mind: is there going to be enough food? Will we have enough to pay for it? Will everything be right on the order? How many things will actually be wrong? And the people behind the counter have that dreaded look too. How are we going to handle this one? Perhaps those are the types of questions, just a small idea of what the people must have wondered in the account for us today. How on earth are we going to be able to provide food for all these people? How do we have enough? Could we even begin to pay for it all? And yet with each question, one by one, Jesus satisfies every need. And he leads us to see what a generous and grateful God that we have as he dispels all our doubts and fears, as he for us too, again and again, generously, plentifully provides for us all that we need, satisfying every need and more. He always does. And when we see that, we can have confidence because we know that he knows what we need and he knows exactly how to satisfy it. It was starting to get dire for the disciples in our text. There were thousands of people there. Just to give you an idea of how many people were actually there, we have about maybe 200 people here today, 100 here on this side and 100 here on that side. St. Paul's can hold, well, we've said 500 comfortably. I don't know how comfortable that actually would be here today in our day and age, but 500 people you could fit in this sanctuary. Think about that. That's a lot of people. Multiply that by 10. That's 5,000 people. 10 St. Paul's, full St. Paul's. That's how many people were there that day. That's the sense of the crowd that evening. And where are they? They're not in a comfortable church with air conditioning and restaurants all around. They're not in a booming metropolis where they can just go and get whatever they need for food. The disciples tell us they're in a deserted place. There's no stores around. There's nobody who's able to provide what they need, even if they had money to pay for it. It was arid, it was remote, and there was nothing to feed the people. And what's more, the disciples recognized too the condition. It was late in the day. This was a typical day for Jesus. He taught all day. He helped so many people who were coming to him with their illnesses and diseases, and he cared for all of them so much. He answered questions. He spoke continuously throughout the day. And when he wanted to get away, which was the case just before this event, he was trying to get away from the crowds, enjoy some time alone with his disciples, yet thousands of people followed him, chased after him wherever he went. And in the excitement and the rapture of the words that Jesus had, minutes passed, and they turned into hours quickly, and yet people didn't notice. People didn't care because they were so enthralled with this man, Jesus. They were there with Jesus. But then, as it happened, the disciples began to notice how late it truly was and how many people were there and how hungry, physically hungry and without food that day they were, and how difficult, yes, impossible it would be for anyone to find anything, let alone a meal to feed thousands of hungry people. The situation was dire for the disciples, and their words to Jesus show that. Should we go and buy 200 denarii worth of bread and give them something to eat? Really, the words are dripping with that bite, that sting of sharpness in their words to Jesus. Can we really pay for all of this, even if there were anywhere to actually buy food? But as reasonable as the disciples' words were, just so unreasonable Jesus' words to them that prompted such a reasoned response, if not a sarcastic reply, Jesus said to them, "You give them something to eat." But Jesus wasn't being funny or sarcastic. He wasn't being cavalier with his words. He was leading the disciples to see their own need so that he could then fill it. You see, Jesus already knew everything that they lacked. He knew what they needed. He knew better than they did before they even knew it. He knew that there were but 5 loaves. He knew that they were only scrounging up, able to get 2 small fish among so many people. But Jesus wanted them to see it and to know the profound nature of their need. And then even the more profound nature of Jesus' ability to satisfy all of it. Friends, Jesus does that for us too. He may make us want a little. He may lead us to see how desperate we truly are on our own. He may lead us to see how dire our situation really is. Times of hunger, times of want, where we're maybe scraping together just to get by, or living from paycheck to paycheck, and then just barely, so that we learn to see how much we truly need the God who provides generously everything. But Jesus leads us to see so much more than just our physical needs, doesn't he? He shows us the depth of our spiritual want, too. What was the disciples' solution to the problem? Send them away. Send them away. The time for us to care is over, Jesus. We care a lot, and we have already cared so much. And this problem, this isn't for us to deal with. This shouldn't be our problem. Jesus, to know the need that we have and a desire and a willingness to care and to fulfill every need, Jesus' care stands in stark contrast to the lack of concern that we so often have for others. We should care for others, but instead we look out for ourselves because that's really all that we can do. And we see how truly selfish we can be at heart. Send them away, Lord, our selfish nature says at heart. We see how truly selfish we often are. It comes so naturally to us. Let me look out as far as I can for myself and mine and leave the rest to fend for themselves. The depth of my heart and my care for others looks like a drying puddle in comparison to the ocean of love and concern that Jesus has for all of us, for each of us. Jesus knows what we need, and he first leads us to see and know it too. But then Jesus provides. But Jesus doesn't just leave us to dwell in our want, and he certainly doesn't leave us to dwell in it long. With him we are completely satisfied. Look how quickly the actions take place in the verses Mark gives as they fall. They're so short, so brief, so succinct as that action moves quickly forward. Verse 38, how many loaves do you have? Go, see. And they respond, five and two fish. And then verse 39, he directed everyone to sit down in groups on the green grass. Simple, direct action as Mark was wont to do. Verse 40, again, so short and simple and yet so expressive in its information. They sat down in groups of hundreds and fifties. Now we have some manageable groups to understand. Here we have groups of 100, groups of 50, right? And think about that. How many groups of this would there be? 50 to 100 congregations of believers. You think about that. With pods and groups of 50s and 100s, 50 to 100 of them stretched out across the grass, stretched out across that arid, deserted place. What a scene this was as Jesus saw each of these groups and cared for all of them. But then, as short and quick as the previous few verses were, here Mark draws out the action. In this long verse, verse 41, it's as if the disciples keep coming back for more, and each time that they come back, just when you think it's at the end, it keeps going. Verse 41, so much description and information. Jesus took the five loaves and the two fish, looked up to heaven, and blessed the loaves and broke them. Then he kept giving pieces to his disciples to set in front of them. He also divided the two fish among them all. Isn't that interesting, that verse 41? How long and descriptive it is as this action continues and continues until what? Everyone is satisfied and fed. Wow. Look at all that action going on seemingly forever, all packed into that one verse as Jesus continues to satisfy every need of every living thing. He doesn't just give a taste, a morsel of food to each. They're satisfied. They're full. And then what is left over? It's not just a few crumbs. No, to present the great nature of this miracle that Jesus has performed, 30, 60, even 100-fold what he began with, they collected the leftovers after everyone had eaten. 12 basketfuls, big baskets full of food that was left over that the disciples brought to them. Jesus satisfies the desire of every living thing. Now go back to a couple key points of application for us in this miracle of our Savior, the feeding of the 5,000. What did Jesus do when he received the bread and fish? He looked up to heaven and he blessed it. He gave thanks to God the Father. Was there ever a meal that Jesus ate for which he did not give thanks to God the Father? And you think about that. He was God. He actually could provide for himself everything that he ever needed. Yet in a perfect way, for you, according to his human nature, for us and for our salvation, in a way that we so often again woefully fail, he gave thanks to God always, every time, for everything that he had. And he was perfect in gratitude and perfect in thanksgiving for you. And then the action here for us. Don't misunderstand. As you hear these words and read these words, Jesus wasn't alluding to the Lord's Supper. It hadn't been instituted yet. And yet, when you read those words of verse 41, it's impossible today for us in our context to read those words of verse 41 and not recall to mind the very actions that Jesus later would take when he instituted that most blessed supper for us. He took the bread. He gave thanks and he broke it. And then he divided it among his disciples. And look how he multiplies that meal. Himself, his own body and blood, as food for our souls. And not just for our souls, but for every gathering of 50 or 100, for every group of believers, every time they gather together to do what Jesus commanded them to do, to invited by him, to receive from him for the forgiveness of their sins. And look how Jesus satisfies so many. In a miraculous way, you wonder, if only Jesus would perform a miracle for us today like he did then. He does. Every time we celebrate his supper for us, he satisfies each of you every time for you, for the forgiveness of your sins, so that you say, what more could we want from Jesus? He always satisfies our every need. But friends, even if the day would have come that all of our earthly needs are not met, I shouldn't say if, I should say when. Because the day will come. A day when we might be found begging bread. When we might truly wonder where our next meal may come from, or how could God possibly fulfill my physical need that I have, answer my call for physical healing or help, or even, finally, saving from death. Even when it would appear that that prayer for daily bread is not answered by God, but death finally comes, as it will, even then, on that day, we will still be satisfied with Jesus because he knows perfectly what we need. He knew it when he descended to this earth. He knew it on that day when he said to his disciples, "You give them something to eat." He knew it with every thanksgiving to his Father in heaven for every loaf he broke and each fish he divided. And he knew it when he offered his own life as a sin offering to God, the greatest offering of thanksgiving that could ever be given. We are satisfied with everything that we need here in this life. Every meal that we eat, we thank God for it. Everything that we receive to sustain and nourish our life comes from the bountiful hand of our gracious and generous God. And then when that day of providence comes to an end for us this side of heaven, then look. Look how Jesus satisfies us then. Just think of that satisfaction of heaven. A place where God has prepared a table for us forever. To dine with him forever. What more will I ever want? What more could I possibly ever ask for? Look at the satisfaction of being with Jesus forever in heaven. Rich treasures that can never be taken away from you. Do we have enough food? Can we actually pay the bill? What about the needs of others? How can I provide for so many? Jesus answers all of those questions, as he always satisfies everything that we need. He satisfies all our earthly needs with his perfect loving care. And then, Then he will gather us to himself in heaven, where we will graze forever on those rich treasures of heaven, being with our Savior. How wonderfully satisfying is that? How wonderfully satisfying is Jesus? Amen. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds through faith in Christ Jesus, our Savior. Amen.